Welcome to Doctrine and Doxology, a podcast series designed to help our Christian beliefs lead to Christian worship. We hope you will grow in the knowledge of the Christian faith and, in turn, will worship and glorify God. Thanks for joining us as we go from understanding to worship. Hello and welcome to a new recording of Doctrine and Doxology. It is a new episode and a final episode.
At least for a small time.
Yes.
We will be back.
Media manager Madison is calling it the end of season one.
Well, I wanted to just keep going, but I guess if she said so.
She's the boss.
Actually, we were in agreement.
Yeah, we're taking the month of July.
There's a lot of stuff going on this month.
Yeah, and kind of getting rested a little bit for August because ministry here in our town in August really, really ramps up.
Ramping up. Here we go.
So this is the final episode of the inaugural season of Doctrine and Doxology, the brand new Doctrine and Doxology.
The brand new one?
Brand new. And to keep in line and in step with what we normally do, we have a listener submit a question.
Oh, answer submitter submitted. Listener questions. Answer them. Answer them now.
Man.
Okay.
That was tough.
I will read the question if that's okay.
Yes.
Okay. The question is it okay for a Christian to get a tattoo?
Good question.
It is. Yes, it is.
And it's a question that's been around for, I don't know, a while.
I have been asked this question by a couple of young people.
Yeah. But even like the earliest days of the nation of Israel.
Yeah. Now, there is a reference in the Bible to tattoos.
Yes.
And that is in Leviticus 19, verse 28. And it says, have no cuts on your body for the dead. Are tattoos, I think that's all it says. I lost my place.
It says,
are tattoo yourself.
I am the Lord.
I am the Lord, yes.
So I guess what do you make of that verse?
I had to, in a narrow-minded viewpoint, I would say, well, there it is. No tattoos. There it is. But then I want to also read Scripture in context. Where were they at? What was getting ready to happen? What was getting ready to take place in that tribe of Israel?
Yes, I agree. I concur.
And they were going into a land where people did those things, and then in a land where God did not want them to take up the practices of the people of that land.
Correct.
Because he wanted them to worship him and him only.
Correct.
So, and they were doing a lot of bad stuff, you know, like sacrificing their children to their fake gods.
Correct.
So he didn't want them to do anything like they were doing. And I think that's what that relates to.
Okay.
I don't know how it fits to today's society. I think it probably doesn't.
Okay. I heard John Piper talking about this verse on this subject, and he said that verse may or may not apply today, but it at least should give every Christian pause and caution and make them think, what am I actually doing and why am I doing it?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And as in anything, and we've seen it several times in the Bible, you don't go off without asking God for his opinion.
Right, in everything. What's interesting about that whole passage to me is most of the rest of the text, not all of it, but a lot of it, we would say, still applies today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's moral things in there that we still hold to. But that's true of all of Leviticus and the first five books of the Old Testament, the law. Some of it continues, some of it doesn't.
Not in my mind.
The moral things continue. The ceremonial things do not.
Yes. Yeah. I would say you always honor the God and honor God and have no other gods before Him. You don't take His name in vain.
Yeah, those top 10. Yeah, they keep going.
Well, I don't go to 10. I go to 9.
Okay, the top 9. You exclude
4.
The Sabbath.
Yes.
Yeah. I look at verse 28 and I connect the tattooing to be in line or akin to the cutting of your body for the dead.
Okay.
There seems to be some religious element there to that.
Yeah, you would think maybe they're tattooing the name of their God or an image of their God, that
or,
kind of thing.
Or ancestors.
Possibly.
Dead child, dead spouse. There seems to be some sort of belief system there that if you cut yourself or tattoo yourself, you're helping them in the afterlife. Which
it doesn't make sense.
Right, it's a false belief, which is
why
God would say, "Hey, don't have anything to do with that." That makes
right.
sense for God's prohibition there, because several other times in the Bible it tells us don't pray for the dead or any of those other things. They're dead. And that seems to be the case here in this verse, verse 28.
Right.
Don't tattoo yourself for the dead is how I would take it.
Right.
Not just a blatant general tattooing.
Okay.
But you make a good point I want to come back to before we move on. When you say God gives this command in Leviticus 19 so that we wouldn't be or that they wouldn't be like the nations and the world around them.
Yes.
I think that has direct bearing on ourselves today.
Yeah, I believe so too.
So why do you want to get a tattoo?
Why would I want to? I have a list of things, reasons I would want to.
Okay.
Let me get my list out. Okay. Here it is.
You have to speak into the
microphone. Okay, well, I'm looking for the list.
Read it out loud.
Well, let me just read what I have, and we'll see if that's it.
Oh.
if not, I'll read another one. Okay. Is the motive peer pressure? Sometimes people get tattoos because one of their buddies or
that's exactly what I'm saying, yeah.
And there's peer pressure involved. Sometimes it's to be seen by others.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be a little bit of ego situation here.
Those
or
are related.
Or someone may be wanting attention.
Yep.
Or they may be rebellious. So it could be a vanity thing. And another thing, I've seen tattoos before. Some of them are in places they shouldn't be because they draw attention to areas of the body that shouldn't be drawing attention to them.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't know if you've seen that before. I've seen that.
An immodest tattoo.
Some people have put tattoos to be a reminder of a loss, as in, you know, this is where my grandma used to live, or this is the death date of my child. I'm just
mm-hmm.
making stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
So a reminder of a loss. And sometimes we need to let that loss wane, get easier.
Okay.
So, you know, anytime you lose someone very close to you, it's a traumatic moment. You go through mourning, and I think you want to somehow let that time heal wounds.
Okay.
And if you have it on your forearm that you see daily, it may take a lot longer to let that time heal.
Yeah.
So I asked my wife, why wouldn't you want one? She said, I'm not into pain. So there's an amount of pain involved, and she didn't want that. And we were kind of collaborating here. What you like now, you may not like in 20 years.
That has proven true in my life.
It's very true, because sometimes I know a young man that got a tattoo of a video game. Chances are that video game is no longer played.
Or of an ex-girlfriend.
Why'd you get a tattoo of an ex-girlfriend?
Well, recently ex.
Oh, so you get one and then boom,
oops,
that's gone.
Yep.
Okay. And for me, I don't know if I have anything of that great a value that I want to write it on me. I mean, the most important thing in our lives is God.
Yeah.
And a lot of people use tattoos to let people know they're Christians.
Yeah, so that's one thing you left off. I think it could be, I'm not going to rule out the possibility, it could be a ministry opportunity.
It could
be. If you've got a verse or a symbol or something that makes people ask questions.
Right.
I've seen those.
We've heard of that.
Yeah, yep, definitely.
Someone very close to you has had that experience.
With a fake tattoo.
With a fake tattoo, yep. Yes.
Temporary tattoo.
And, you know, a student asked, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And so she was able to share a little bit of the gospel.
Yeah. Back to John Piper that I was listening to about this subject. He said, it all boils down to the glory of God. Am I getting a tattoo for the glory of God? Or will this hinder my witness to God? Or am I doing it for other reasons, vain reasons, et cetera,
right,
et cetera? Do I really think that this will exalt Christ, glorify God, or not?
Yeah, that's 1 Corinthians 10:31, in case you were wondering.
Right.
It says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God.
Yeah, right. So I think that rules out a lot. And I think you also have to exercise wisdom about the context that you're in.
Yeah.
Will this make me look worldly? Will this make me unapproachable on down the line?
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's another verse. I don't know if it applies to necessarily tattoos. I think it's pointed at sexual sins. But it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, your body is a temple of the Spirit, Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body.
Yeah.
So I realize that's not necessarily talking about markings on your body, but
right, but it's a general principle, a general rule.
I want to glorify God with everything I do.
Absolutely.
And when these people see me, I want them not to see me, but Christ.
Right.
And I have had some preconceived notions.
Yes,
on
you
this.
Have.
And I've had to repent of some of them. And it stems from the people that had tattoos when I was in my, is it called formidable years?
But that's what I mean by understanding your context, exercising wisdom a little bit on that.
Right. To have a tattoo when I was being raised, you were probably a Hell's Angel had tattoos. People in circuses had tattoos. Not that I'm against people in circuses. I'm trying to think of other people. Oh, a lot of times sailors would get tattoos.
Uh-huh.
My dad had a tattoo of a heart with his name and my mother's name.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have things like that that are very important to them. But then I've also seen somebody get something crazy put on their ankle and then have to later go back and make a big old flower to cover that crazy thing up.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they just didn't think it through.
Right.
And chances are, if they had, they wouldn't have got one.
Right. I think this is just one of those subjects that Christians need to exercise more thought and wisdom and discernment than probably what they give to it. We know Christians who have tattoos. That's not
going to
prevent anybody from being a member of our church or taking the Lord's Supper or fellowshipping with us.
You know, I was reading a scripture this morning that talked about wherever you are at when God brings you into the kingdom, you don't have to change. It was actually talking about circumcision. So if you're not circumcised when you become a Christian, you don't have to become circumcised.
Yeah.
So
you don't have to have all your tattoos removed.
Correct.
If you become a Christian.
You may want to cover some up. I've seen tattoos that were very bold in their. Never mind.
Yeah,
they were bad.
I think some of the most pressing issues for me, if I could bring it to a matter of the heart, is to really again come back to this question, asking why do I want to get this tattoo? Do I want to look cool? Is it vanity? Do I want to be attractive? Do I want attention? Et cetera, et cetera.
Right, right.
Do I want to look like everybody
else? And
that's
what the question asks. Is it okay for a Christian to get a tattoo?
I mean,
anybody, no matter what they've done in their previous life before Christianity, we're not going to change that. I mean, if, you know, you come to God the way you are.
Yeah.
And you're loved either way.
Right. I mean,
you're loved because he loves you.
Right. But for a Christian who has no tattoos to contemplate getting one.
Right.
I think some of these verses should at least, at the very least, make you pause. You need to formulate a sound conviction
right
on them and on them collectively. What's the whole Bible teach about my physical body and doing things to my physical body? You need to have a good understanding of that.
Right.
You need to have a good understanding of your context and think through some of the future things. Grandchildren and children explaining things to them and employers and what does this do? Does this really serve to advance the gospel or not?
Right. You're talking about thunder, actually. I was going to say, you have to explain to your grandchild why you got that.
You got some explaining to do.
That's right.
What's that reference for those who don't know?
The Lucy, I Love Lucy series.
I Love Lucy.
Desi Arnaz to Lucy.
Yeah. Can you do it?
I can say exactly what you just said.
Can you do it better in the accent, though?
Well, I don't have a Cuban accent, but I could give it a whirl.
That's what we're all
you
here
got
waiting.
Some splaining to do. That probably wasn't very good.
No, but I can't wait to hear it. I can't wait to go back and hit play.
Yeah, and it got loud too. I'm sorry about that. If you had your radio turned up
or earbuds,
if you have earbuds and you know, oh my goodness, they're yelling at me.
Yeah, this weird Cuban guy that's not Cuban.
Another thing, it's like a bumper sticker that cannot be removed.
Yeah, you thought of that last night, didn't you?
I thought of that this morning, actually.
Impressive. Just clever and creative.
The brain always is working, but not always in the right channel.
Yeah. So would you get a tattoo?
No.
Why?
If I did get a tattoo, I think it would have to be something that brought honor and glory to God. And opened up avenues of witnessing and not turn people away. Some people would see the tattoo and just, some people, because they're biased, would turn away from a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the past, a tattoo was almost a sign of rebellion.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's true now, but I think in the past it used to be.
Yeah, I think a tattoo could get somebody to turn away from you just for having a tattoo, right or wrong.
That's possible.
Whether that's right or wrong,
right.
They would write you off because you have a tattoo. But
You're one of those.
I don't think not having a tattoo would ever prevent somebody from listening to you.
That's true. So my answer is no, I wouldn't. If it had to be, I think it would be what they said in Isaiah. Have I read that yet? 44:5?
No.
Ha ha. I said that away from the mic. I want you to hear it. 44:5. This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call on the name of Jacob. And another will write on his hand, the Lord's. And name himself by the name of Israel. I'm not saying that says you should do that.
Right.
But if I were to get a tattoo, it would be something like that. Something that would
proclaim. On your hand, I'm the Lord's.
It would proclaim that I am and will always belong to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
It's better than getting some random word in Greek that they tell you they think they know what it means and it actually means something else.
Yeah, like the Chinese word says fortune cookie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if I've heard that as a joke.
Well, you didn't ask if I would get one.
Oh, well, let me ask you a question, Skylar.
Yes.
What is the top 10 things? No. Would you get a tattoo?
No. I think I would have if I've already, by this point in life, I guess is what I'm saying.
But okay.
My reason for not getting a tattoo is, by and large, laziness.
And pain.
Yeah, maybe. I don't want to put forth the effort to have to explain it.
I had an acquaintance, and she had several.
Yeah.
And occasionally she would come up with a new one, and she'd show it to me. And one time she said, well, we kind of have this group, and we put $50 in into a pot, and that pays for the tattoos. And you just draw out of the out of a bowl what tattoo you're going to get.
Yeah, that's probably not wise.
I don't think that's a wise decision, because you may get something that's really not beneficial to anybody.
Well, you should be glorifying God with your body.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And something like that doesn't necessarily do that. My issue is, you know, especially as a pastor, but even if I wasn't a pastor, I can see hindrances in life to having a tattoo, but I've yet to encounter any hindrances in terms of not having a tattoo.
Yes.
Nobody looks at me and says, "You don't have a tattoo, you can't be here." Maybe they're out there, but I've never encountered that. And so for me, it's mainly laziness. I don't want to put any more obstacles in my life that I have to overcome than I've already got.
Right.
And I don't want to spend my time explaining something all the time as to why I have it, what it means, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
But that being said, I see brothers and sisters who have, and they've worked on me, they have tattoos that mean something to them, and I have asked them, what does that mean?
Yeah, I have too.
And so
some of them were, my sister and I, we both have the same
tattoo,
yeah. And it's kind of to help us remember each other.
No, that's not you saying that. That's an example.
I asked somebody why they had a tattoo.
Oh.
And that's what she said. My sister and I both have one. And it just reminds us of our family and each other.
Yeah. I don't, you know, and a little bit is the timing. We're in a certain part of church history where a little bit has changed. And so, like you said, your generation would see somebody professing to follow Christ with but have tattoos, and they would question them.
Yes, that's probably true.
My generation sees somebody with tattoos professing to follow Christ, and it's no obstacle. We don't think that person's any less mature or whatever.
Well, you know, I'm outgrowing my narrow-mindedness.
Well, and there's something to be said there about following the sway of the culture, the sway of the times.
Yeah.
It's easier to get tattoos now, and some more people want to do it. Does that mean it's right? No. Does that mean it's wrong? I don't know. You have to think about it.
Yeah. I think it goes back to your motivation, and did you seek God's guidance in this? And hopefully a Christian would seek God's leadership.
Yeah. If I had a church member come to me and say, "I'm really wrestling with this. I want a tattoo, but I'm not sure I should get one. I don't know what to do." My advice would be,
don't
get one.
Until you know that's what God wants you to do.
Yeah. It costs you nothing not to get a tattoo.
That's true.
It will ease your conscience. It might be sacrificing a want in your life, but that's better than breaking your conscience about an issue and regretting it later.
Right.
That's a permanent regret. So, I would say err on the side of no. Unless you're just absolutely sure this exalts God alone and furthers his kingdom
right
in all these circumstances.
That's a pretty good answer.
That's all I got, man. That's it. One good answer.
Well, let's see. Did we read all the scriptures I thought we should read? Yeah, I think so.
That's the deal. Like, this is a good question because I like that everybody's that people ask questions like this. They want to bring every area of their life into submission to God, his will,
and
his
word. Yeah, that's amazing, yes.
So I like the question. I love the question. There's just not a lot said about it in the Bible.
Right.
And the Leviticus verse that we referenced, you can take it very literally. In fact, it's safer to do that.
Sure.
But you can also take it like a Pharisee and apply it to people when it really doesn't apply that way.
Right.
And, you know, we kind of highlighted why at the beginning, so.
And there's a lot of things in Leviticus that we don't follow.
Yeah, so.
I like bacon.
Me too.
I like bacon.
Kevin Bacon?
He's okay too.
Yeah.
I don't know what his spiritual relationship is, but I hope he's a believer.
I think I've only seen like two or three of his movies.
Okay. Well, you're kind of young.
What was the, not Footloose, but the other one that he did that was real famous?
Footloose is all I know.
Yeah.
Would you sing some of that for us?
I don't even think I know the song.
Oh. The Footloose. Oh, never mind.
Oh, man.
That's all the words I know.
Oh, so, man. This just descended. That's a blessing. This is how we're going to end the
season. That's a blessing for everybody that I don't know the words to that one.
Hallelujah. That's right. Well, I have enjoyed the inaugural season of this podcast.
Me too. I enjoyed last week when Ricky joined us.
Absolutely. And
that was great. I like that.
I think we should try to record some in July just to give him the opportunity. Yeah, I'd like to have him back.
Yep.
I hope our listeners enjoyed that as well.
He was very scripture focused, and that's what I really like.
Yeah, and insightful, and it's very good. Well, thank you, listeners, who have been with us these first few months of this first season. And as we said at the beginning, and as we're hinting to now, we will be taking the month of July off.
So first Wednesday in August, we will be here.
We will be here.
Okay.
Lord willing.
Lord willing.
And we will, again, tackle your listener-submitted questions. We highly encourage you to keep submitting them in the next month.
There's only a couple in the bank now.
Right. And we would love for the bank to build up and tackle those head-on come August. So the way that you can do that and the way that you can keep up with what's going on in the next several weeks is via Facebook and Instagram. Doctrine and Doxology Podcast is how you find us on both of those platforms. Be sure to follow, share, like, comment, leave a message, leave a comment, all those good things on our posts, and be on the lookout for giveaways in the future.
Yeah.
I know there's sponsors
free stuff
coming. Sponsors coming in season two.
Yeah.
So.
And I'd just like to give a shout out for Madison. I appreciate what she does for us.
What does she do?
She does a lot.
She does.
Well, all we do is we sit here and hit record, and then we post it, and then we give her the message that's posted.
True.
And all other stuff, the advertising, coordination.
But see, if we tell her that, she thinks she's in control.
Okay, forget I said anything, Madison. No, I do appreciate her. She's really an asset.
Absolutely. All right, I hear the month sabbatical calling.
Okay, let me pray. Father, today we thank you, as we should and do every day. You are a glorious, wonderful, powerful God, and you have given us so much. You've given us great salvation and at such a high cost, and we thank you for that. Lord, help us to be gospel-minded. Help us to always be prepared to share the gospel with those around us. Help us eagerly seek that, because their destiny without Christ is dismal, maybe worse than dismal. So, Lord, please give us that desire and fill us with your Spirit and use us for your kingdom. Thank you for the opportunity to be in this podcast, and thank you for your wonderful love. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.